Anyway, so married for 2 years now to a wonderful, amazing wife. And so not long ago, so we actually moved to Brackenfell, which I know is really, really far or whatever. But like if I take you guys a little bit back to 2024, we were staying in Pinelands and we moved to Table View. Now, I know, again, it is a long distance. And at the same time, I started a job in observatory. And the funny thing is that my wife and I, we work in the opposite direction. So she's working in Brackenfell, and we are in Table View, and I work in observatory. But nonetheless, guys, I mean, Table View is nice. Like, Table View is really great. You know, you got the beach, and then you got the mountain views. And yeah, it's really nice. But then, like, it's very windy. I don't know. Like, does anyone swim in that water? I do not know. But nonetheless, it's very windy, but Table View is really nice. You know, you can do beach walks and all of that stuff. But nonetheless, guys, so when we moved to Table View, listen, and again, guys, because I am a very loving and amazing husband, listen, I used to wake up at 4:30 a.m. Now, my wife may dispute this, so I'm going to say allegedly, I used to wake up at 4:30 a.m. And so wake up at 4:30 a.m. and I was told that I take like 100 trillion hours to bath and to prepare. So that's why I needed to wake up early. And so I wake up at that time, I get ready, my wife also gets ready. And then we leave at like 10 past 6 or whatever so that I can drop her in Brackenfell at 7 o'clock because the hospital, her shift starts at 7. Cool. And then after dropping her off, again guys, because I am an amazing husband, I drive all the way from Brackenfell in the N1 traffic, M5 traffic. Listen, come on, Joe, let's go. Listen, wonderful stuff, guys. Listen, I'm there in traffic. I spend millions of hours in traffic, and eventually I get to observatory. Now, on this specific day, when I got to work, I got in, and the nice thing about my office is that like it has almost like this massive window, like a window panel. So there's like sun coming in and like you can see like the view of Table Mountain. Now guys, listen, I'm maybe embellishing this. This is observatory. So there's not a lot of mountain I'm observing, but listen, we are still seeing a little bit of Table Mountain and the sun is coming in the office. On this day, I'm feeling good. And you know what? I get in and I start my work. And so I end up working for a few hours or whatever. And then at some point, I notice something that is very strange, right? I see that my laptop battery is low. It's like at 5%, guys, like at 5%. And I'm like, ah, like this is, and you know me, guys, like I always plug in my laptop when I get to work. So it's supposed to be charged and everything. And so I'm very surprised and whatever. And so I'm like, okay, let me check. And so I check. And I see, oh, okay, it's actually plugged in. But for some reason, it's not charging and it's battery low. I'm like, ah, okay. So I do what any, you know, self-respecting human being would do. I went to the circuit breakers and I was like, you know, Ethley Cage, you know, like you got to check, you got to know. I'm not an electrician. I don't know what I was doing there. So I just went back and I sat down and I was like, you know what? Let me see what I can do. So when I sat back down on my laptop, I saw like a notification pop up. And guys, the notification in capital letters said, urgent client meeting in 15 minutes. Yo, guys, I was cooked, guys. I was cooked. Urgent client meeting, 15 minutes. And guys, listen, the battery's on 5%. What am I going to do? And so now I'm there. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And then I get this idea, right? So our church offices is in Newlands. And so Newlands is not too far from Observatory. And so I put two and two together, one plus two. I'm like, if I can get in my car, I can rush to Newlands and I'll get there just in time. And then I can obviously, you know, plug in my laptop and I can join the meeting from there. And then, you know, I avoid a written warning. So I then head, I get into my car, I run into my car, I switch on the car, guys. As I'm reversing, I'm putting that song, you know that song called He's Able by Hedrick Datton? God is able to do, He's able. Listen, guys, when I was driving down Main Road, I was like, God, you parted the Red Sea, you're gonna part these taxis for me. Come on, somebody. I became American preacher in that car, guys. Listen. But eventually, you know what, I made it to the church offices and I avoided everyone. I ran into the studio and I put my laptop there and I plugged in and I connected. And listen, guys, the meeting went fantastic, okay? I avoided a written warning. Listen, it's good. I still got my job. But when I was preparing for this message, right, I was reflecting on this. And one thing that I found super interesting that was that as much as I was in the office and, you know, I was in this office that had, you know, beautiful sunlight and it was nice and warm and everything, like, firstly, I didn't realize that there was no people in the office, guys. Like, I was alone, right? I was lonely. But then also secondly, guys, I didn't realize the power was off. I was just so distracted in the moment. But also, guys, I think it's my fault because I didn't read the email that said power outage in observatory, work from home. But listen, listen, it's still part of the preach, okay? So we're going to preach it. But nonetheless, I noticed that because I was so comfortable with my surroundings and my situation at the time and, you know, the sunlight that I felt from the sun and all of that stuff, I was not bothered by the fact that I was actually not connected to power. And obviously I worked for a few hours and the Wi-Fi was working and everything, because sometimes Wi-Fi works when there's, you know, power outage. I don't know how the electricians do it, but it works. But nonetheless, like, I'm there and I'm working for a few hours, not noticing that my battery is actually dying. And to be quite honest, that 5% battery wasn't going to take me through the whole day for the task that I needed to accomplish that day. Now, I bring this up with us today because sometimes our spiritual lives can look the same way. We can come to church and we can enjoy the Sunday service, and it's really great. I mean, the worship is awesome, guys, and, you know, we get to meet people and stuff. But then it's almost like that sunlight that you feel, but then after that, we are not actually plugged in. We are not actually connected. And maybe you're here today, and there are many reasons why you're not plugged in, and we'll get into that. But if we think about our walk with Christ, right, if we are going to live a life where we are living on a spiritual battery that's just 5%, we actually can't experience the fullness that God has for us. And in order to experience that fullness, we actually need to be plugged in to church community. And so, church, this is what we're going to be talking about today, the importance of church community. And so I'm going to introduce the title of today's message in an amazing fashion. Are you ready, guys? Okay, tell your neighbor, neighbor. Don't be scared. Neighbor, are you plugged in or are you just present? Come on. Are you plugged in or are you just present? Now, I'm sure many of us, our Christian life looks the same way, where, you know, we show up to church, we experience the word, we experience the worship, but then we never actually plugged into community. And just the thought of me bringing this up, maybe for some of us, brings up a lot of pain, and we'll talk about that today. But from what I know, like, there's usually two reasons why people don't plug in. Now, the first one is because you are still new. Maybe you're still a new Christian and, you know, you're still trying to figure, you know, the Bible out. You're still trying to know Jesus. But also you're trying to learn the lingo, you know, like, come on. I heard that we say that a lot. Come on. But if that is you here today, I just want to say something. I want to say that we see you. We want you to take your time. But also we are here with you so that we can help you navigate your faith journey. But then secondly, there are some people with us here today, and maybe this is you, where for you, you are still in a process of healing, where maybe you have been disappointed by another church, and maybe, like, leaders disappointed you, or just that thought of plugging in brings out fear and anxiety and hurt in your heart. Now, if that's you today, I want to let you know something, that I believe that this is a healthy church, and I believe that God is calling you to plug in for your healing as well. Because you see, the one thing about isolation is that isolation can prevent you from being hurt again, but also isolation prevents you from healing. And so in today's message, I want to encourage you that God is calling you to heal, and is calling you to heal in community. Now, we are in church, so we are going to read the Bible after my stories. Do you guys think I'm going to sleep on a couch today? What, 50%, 40%? Just kidding. Nonetheless, we are going to be reading from the book of Acts today, specifically Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. Now, to give you guys some context, just before this, what happened was that Jesus had resurrected, and he had appeared amongst his disciples. And when he appeared amongst his disciples, at some point he tells them, hey, I'm going to go to heaven, but then I'm going to leave you with a helper called the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples, they wait, and then literally the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit fills them with power and confidence like never before. And then they go out and they speak in these heavenly languages called tongues. Now, what is very interesting is that for some people, when the apostles were speaking in tongues in public, for some of them, they were like, you guys are drunk. Go back from where you came from. But then for other people, they actually experienced something powerful. They could actually hear the proclamation of the good news of Jesus in their native language. And so some people were like, yeah, this guy's speaking my language. Other people were like, no, he's actually speaking my language. It was really powerful, amazing, but I think a little bit confusing at the same time. But nonetheless, this is a very powerful part in scripture. And so what we're going to read now is basically the response of the people just after this experience. So Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Moving on. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread and in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now this is very powerful, because what we're seeing is that the early church was modeled by gathering, by physical gathering. But also in addition to this, what the scripture teaches us that is that there are four other principles as well that they maintain. The first principle is physical gathering, which we covered now. The second is doctrine, which is teaching. But then I want to draw your attention to the other two that I think there's a lot of potential and what God is calling us to today. And the two are, in particular, breaking of bread and prayers. Now, when it comes to the principle of gathering, we can see in verse 46, it gives us further context that they were actually meeting in houses and they were meeting daily. Okay, guys, daily. Now, I don't know about you, but these people were plugged in, okay? To meet daily, yo, that is very powerful. But also, what we see is that in verses 43 and 47, we see that because of them following those four principles, there is a result, like there's a cause and there's an effect. And so what we're seeing in verses 43 and 47 is that they saw miracles, but also God added to their number. Now, this is because they were plugged in. And when we are plugged in as believers, God's power flows. And when his power flows, lives are changed. And I believe that in the same way, when we come together, when we devote ourselves to the word of God as believers, and when we gather, God moves. And church, that same spirit that was there at that time that helped the disciples witness amazing miracles, but also helped them grow in number, is the same spirit that lives and dwells with us today. And so I just want to encourage us, church, this is an encouragement for us to be plugged in. Because God moves when we are plugged in. And so, church, I want to give us four reasons for us to be plugged into church. And so, the first reason that I want to go through is plug into church because God will surround you. Plug into church because God will surround you. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, what we can see here is that this wasn't just like a program. This was something that they were dedicated and they devoted themselves to. And when I read this verse, I think of a couple within this church that embody this very powerfully. I'm talking about Carl and Chanel Ward. Now, let me tell you something. This couple is absolutely amazing. Now, they joined Freedom Church last year. And as soon as we opened up our community groups, they joined in. Now, let me tell you something. When they joined, they didn't know anyone, guys. So it was interesting. But as soon as they devoted themselves to joining the community group, and as soon as they said, you know what, we're going to actually take this time away and actually go and plug in, what happened was that those gatherings actually became a highlight in their life. And for them, it just wasn't about, you know, the Bible study that they were doing. It was about the laughter that they had. It was about the friendship. But also it was about the honesty as well. And through that space, they found people that came around them and prayed for them. They found people that journeyed with them throughout life's difficulties. And guys, they are not just attending a group anymore. They're actually hosting one now. They've opened up their homes. They're opening up their home now, and through their community group, there's been so much impact. God has moved powerfully, and what has happened is that people have seen breakthrough when it comes to jobs. Marriages have been restored. Faith has been revived. And listen, church, this is what happens when we plug in, because you see, sometimes we think that God wants us to come into a church and actually sit in rows. But the truth is that God sometimes wants us to grow in circles. And we grow in circles when we plug into community. The second point, plug into church because your generosity can change someone's life. Plug into church because your generosity can change someone's life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45, it says, they sold their possessions and shared with anyone who had need. In other words, these people's faith was not a faith that was quiet, but it was actually a faith that was active, a faith that brings the experience of heaven to earth. Now, I think about, when I think of this verse, I think of about six years ago, there was a homeless man who was in drug addiction at the time. He was walking in the streets of Woodstock, and he would go door to door, knocking on each door, and he was trying to sell paintings. And little did he know that on one day, he would knock on a door of one of our community group hosts. And they didn't know it at the time, but the community group host, what he did was, he actually invited the homeless person and their wife to come join the community group. And they didn't know it at the time, but their life would change forever. Now, they invited them for that night. They prayed with them. They shared a meal with them. But also, they loved them. And through that church, what happened was that through the generosity of this house, through the generosity of our church and our community, this couple were able to go through rehabilitation. They were able to be freed from drug addiction. And listen, guys, if you don't know whose story this is Frank and Vilma's story. And listen, it's absolutely powerful. And Frank and Vilma are pillars within our church, people. And this is their story. And because someone said, I'm going to actually open my home, I'm going to actually say, you know what, people can come in and they can experience life change with God. Because of that, someone's lives will change. And through Frank and Vilma now, they're actually leading an NGO that does the same for the people in our city. And so this is what happens when we plug in, church, because you never know how your generosity can impact someone's life. All right, second last point, and then we're almost done. Plug into church because God will move for you. Plug into church because God will move for you. Now, what we see in this verse is that everyone was filled at awe with the wonders and signs that were performed and the miracles that happened. And when we come together as believers and we devote ourselves to God, what happens is that our faith rises, and we get to experience the power of God. And when I think of this, I think of a wonderful mom in our church called Ali. Now, listen. Ali is a mom in our church, and she joined Freedom Church in one of her toughest times in her life. She had just lost her job. She was going through a lot of mental things that were happening, and she was just being strong for her kids. And she decided to join a community group. Now, when she joined a community group, this community group became a lifeline for her. And I want you to hear her words. This is what she said. I found more than friends. I found a family. I never felt alone or forgotten. Now, through this community group, they were able to pray for her. They were able to check in on her to see how she's doing. But also, they were able to pray for her that she would get a job and that God would move in her life. And listen, guys, God moved, okay? There was a job that Ali got, guys. And through that, God was able to revive her faith. She was able to experience God's power and His miraculous power firsthand. And this is because she was plugged in. And church, when you decide to plug in, you decide to say, you know, I'm no longer going to face life alone. I'm going to actually bring people in. And through you bringing people in, when you plug in, you actually position yourself to experience God's miracles. Now, the last point is plug into church to find your healing. Plug into church to find your healing. So with this one, we're going to read the book of Acts, chapter 3. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as John did. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at a temple called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now, in this account, what we see is that there is a man who was lame and he used to be carried every day to this temple gate called Beautiful. And this was happening every single day. And he used to sit outside of the temple. Now, when I was studying this, I tried to put myself in the perspective of this man. You are sitting outside and you can actually see people going in. You can actually maybe hear even the worship that people are worshiping God to, but then you can't go in for yourself. And the Bible says that specifically that he was lame from birth. And so this wasn't something that just came about recently. This was something that he lived with in his life up until that point. And I think some of us can relate to this. Some of us are maybe here today and you are like, you know what? I come to church and I see the joy, I see the excitement, I see us praising and worshiping, but then you just feel that there's a sense of you wanting to go through that gate, but there's something holding you back. And maybe it is your fear, maybe it is your anxiety, or maybe it is the experiences that you've had in the past. And maybe you do feel like if I do open my heart, I might be hurt again. Now, you see, the interesting thing about this man is that he was not just crippled by his legs, okay? He was actually crippled by isolation because every day people would pass by him and no one would carry him inside. Up until the point Peter and John said, you know what? Today's the day we are going to carry you inside. And church, that is what community does, because sometimes God will heal you in a moment, and I truly believe this, and this happens. But then sometimes God will bring someone who will carry you and lift you up and take you into the beautiful gate. And I truly believe that for some of us today. And to end us off, I want to share a testimony of someone in our church, and I want you to hear their words for it. This testimony is very sacred, it's very powerful, and I wanted to minister to you wherever you are. And so here is Rosemary's testimony. My name is Rosemary, and I've been part of Freedom Church for 1 year and 6 months. I stand here today to share what God has done in my life since I came into this community. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm a pastor's kid. And from the very beginning, I was raised to know God. I gave Him my life, and I walked in faith, and I felt confident in that. And then came the hardest season of my life. 7 years ago, barely outside of high school, still young and vulnerable, I experienced sexual trauma within the church. The very same place that was supposed to be a safe place, space became a place of deep pain and trauma. That trauma broke me in many ways that I couldn't even describe. It didn't just happen once, it lingered. It stole my sense of safety and made me feel like my body was against me. And it silenced my voice, convincing me that I would never be happy again. It trapped me in shame that was never mine to carry. For years, I was just surviving. I told myself I would never set foot in a church again. I convinced myself that the church and God's people could only hurt me. I also believed that the Christian faith was all about sacrifice, stealing joy, and making you feel empty. Believing this lie kept me trapped for many years. But everything changed when I joined Freedom Church. From the very first time I came, I felt welcomed, safe, and supported. Being part of this community showed me that healing and love are possible. And through the church, I experienced God's love in a real and personal way. I realized that I didn't have to carry my trauma alone. In this past year, I chose to trust God again. I experienced His care as a loving Father who sees my pain and grieves with me for what I went through as a teenager. Slowly, He began transforming my mind, my heart, and my life. Today, I no longer live under the weight of unforgiveness, guilt, depression, or anxiety. I was baptized, joined Freedom Church fully, and now serve faithfully in this community. A community that doesn't just preach Jesus, but also lives that truth. So I stand here today and I declare I am loved, I am healed, and my life has been restored. And I want you to know this. No trauma, no wound, no experience is too deep to be healed. If God could do it for you, God can do it. If God did it for me, God can do it for you too. Come on, church, can we thank God for that testimony? And this is what happens when we plug in. When we plug in, we tell ourselves, you know what, I'm tired of living a spiritual life that is just on 5%. I want to be plugged into a source of power that will change my life and transform my life, that will heal me and bring about restoration. And maybe you are here today and you feel like, you know, like you're in Rosemary's story, or even the scripture we just read, where you are at this beautiful gate and there's so much pain, there's so much hurt, there's so much trauma that is keeping you from taking the next step. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you that God is a God that heals. God heals you in community, and we are here to take you through that journey. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you, God is here. Because one thing, church, is that when you are plugged into God's house, His power flows, His miracle flows, healing flows, and our lives are restored, church.